May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text comes from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, as recorded in our epistle, especially these words, "But we preach Christ crucified." This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, I'm going to ask you a silly question. Is there anything foolish that goes on in this world around us? You might be inclined to respond, "Well, of course, Pastor, I just turn on the news, or I hop on Facebook, or I look at the paper. I can see how foolish the world is." But you know that when those outside of the church look at us, look at the church, they see foolishness here. The ways of the world seem to make sense to the world. The ways of God look like foolishness to the world. We heard the wisdom of God in our Old Testament reading, the Ten Commandments. But the foolishness of this world says, "I can do whatever I want." The wisdom of God says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." The foolishness of the world says, "Well, I can choose to be a male or a female or something in between." But the wisdom of God says, "Male and female, he created them." The foolishness of the world says, "If I see it and I want it, then I deserve it." But the wisdom of God says, "You shall not covet." The foolishness of the world says, "I can say whatever I want about people. It's just words after all." But the wisdom of God says, "Do not bear false witness against your neighbor." The foolishness of the world says, "I can sleep with whoever I want." The wisdom of God says, "You shall not commit adultery." The foolishness of the world says, "Well, I can just get rid of someone if their life is inconvenient for me." But the wisdom of God says, "You shall not murder." The foolishness of the world says, "I decide what is true. I decide what is right for me. If there is a God, I will find my own way to him." But the wisdom of God in Christ says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." But the truth is that the foolishness of the world is not just out there. We like to dabble in that worldly foolishness as well from time to time. We often take the world's gods and try to fashion them into something a little more palatable, a little more acceptable, a little less distasteful, maybe even something that the true God will approve of. The latest Christian pop fad that I've heard about, maybe you've heard of these, are Enneagrams. I don't know. Don't bother. They're a cultic thing that has merged its way into Christianity, so some people can make a lot of money. But this is a problem that has plagued the church for a long time. When the Israelites had Aaron make the golden calf out in the wilderness for them to worship, as recorded in Exodus, they thought that this idol that they were worshiping was actually the true God. They said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." They had mingled pagan ideas of God with their own, and God was not pleased. And we too allow the ideas of the world to mingle with God's word. Oh, maybe not some of the more outrageous folly that we hear about, because, well, frankly, Satan is a little more subtle than that. He tempts us in other ways. He wants us to trust our emotions to figure out what's true. He wants us to jump on this political bandwagon or that political bandwagon. He wants us to consider this theory or that ideology for truth. He wants us to trust anything other than God's word. And those things of the world do creep into our psyche, slowly, subtly, but dangerously. Satan preaches to you, too, through the ways of this world and through your own sinful flesh. But St. Paul reminds us It is not to be so in the church. The church in which Paul says, but we preach Christ crucified. What does Paul mean when he says that? We preach Christ crucified. Now, he doesn't mean that we in the church simply retell the story of some first century Jewish rabbi who, despite being a pretty good guy, was unjustly treated by the Romans and eventually executed by them on a cross. No, we do retell the story, but what Paul is describing is a completely different mindset. It's a different worldview, a worldview that declares many things. There is a God, and that God is not you, and that God is not me, a God who created everything, a God who sustains his creation, a God who he in himself is perfect and holy and righteous and created us in his own image, but a God whom humanity rejected, renounced, and rebelled against, and continues to do so, even to the point of nailing that God to a cross, a God who has every right to utterly destroy us and cast us into hell for our sinfulness, a God whose wrath against sin should justly come down full force upon you and upon me. That should be where you die. But we preach Christ crucified. At the cross, we do see the wrath of God. We see what should be our fate. We see the vengeance of God, but not poured out on you, and not poured out on me, but on Jesus, the sinless one. To preach Christ crucified means to preach that there is a God who is real, who is holy, that we are not, but that our loving God dies for our sin in our place instead of killing us. Now that's pretty foolish. It's pretty foolish to die for one's enemies, you would think. And it is folly to those who are outside of the faith, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, it is Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. You, brothers and sisters in Christ, you are those to whom Paul refers when he says, those who have been called. To you, the preaching of Christ crucified is not foolishness, the power and wisdom of God. You have been called by God in your baptism, given the Holy Spirit. You are ones whom God has called by name. To you, the preaching of Christ is what you long to hear over and over again. It is what you need to hear over and over again. Sadly, it is a very common occurrence, I fear, in Christian congregations today, and dare I say, even in some Lutheran congregations, to assume that since everyone knows that Jesus died for their sins, that, well, we don't really need to talk about that as much. So the temptation is in our preaching and teaching to move beyond that, to start preaching about other things like holy living, or how to be a good Christian, or 12 steps to a better, I don't know, whatever. But this idea that we as Christians somehow move beyond the cross and move beyond the empty tomb of Jesus, that hearing that message is only for new Christians, well, that's foolishness. Paul, toward the beginning of his letter to the Corinthians, writes this, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." That message is what we need to hear. Whether you've been a Christian for a couple days, a couple years, or your entire life, this is the message we need to hear continually, because it is the message that God is merciful and completely forgives our sins for Christ's sake. And that message is contrary to every other message we hear from anywhere else in the world. It's also completely contrary to what our sinful nature would tell us. Our sinful nature may say to us, "I'm good enough on my own," or "My sin is no big deal." Or perhaps the opposite message, "God can't forgive my sin because it is too great." But none of those things are true. So those messages have to constantly be counteracted by the true word of God. And that is why the church must continually, and until Christ returns in glory, preach the message, Christ crucified. But thanks be to God that to preach Christ crucified also means to preach Christ risen, because the two go hand in hand. The cross is where sin was paid for, where your sin and my sin was paid for. And the empty tomb is where death is defeated, where your death and my death is defeated. The death of Jesus, that saving work, is given to you in your baptism, where you died to sin, where God drowned the old Adam in you. And because Jesus rose from the dead, so you too in your baptisms are raised from the dead. You died and were raised with Jesus in baptism. And you will die and you will rise again physically to new life in new physical bodies as well. Now, dead bodies rising from the dead seems pretty foolish to the world, but we know it's true. We know that just as Christ rose from the dead, all those who trust in him for salvation will rise as well on the last day to spend eternity with our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do not trust the so-called wisdom of this world, for has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. We preach Christ crucified. To you who have been called in your baptisms, it is Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.